Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
All right, thank you so much for staying with us. So you may know that the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Solly Malatsi, appeared today in front of the Portfolio Committee of Communications and Digital Technologies. And obviously, this is based on the gazetted policy directives that were issued on Friday. If you were not able to follow the proceedings today in that parliamentary committee meeting, they were quite heated. And of course, politically, you have varying views on this matter, but I've got on the line someone who's just, you know, going to give us just to educate us a bit on, for number one, the Gazette and the policy directives themselves, and to help us fully appreciate and understand what they are, so that when you hear the various political parties give you their opinion, you have a better sense of what exactly we're speaking about here. So I've got on the line Justine Limpet-Law, who's an electronic communications law consultant and honorary adjunct professor at the Link Center at Wits University, on the line with us. Thank you very much, Justine, for talking to us. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Pamela?
Well, I appreciate you making time to talk to me this evening. So let's talk a little bit about the minister's appearance today at the Portfolio Committee meeting. And, you know, they made a big fuss about the fact that he was not summoned. He was requested and he very, very graciously agreed to come on. But the issue here are the policy directives that were issued by him, gazetted by him on Friday. And I want us to talk about what actually is the content thereof.
Okay. So what the minister has done is to issue policy directives asking ICASA to consider amending their ownership regulations with a view to bringing them in line with the ICT charter in terms of the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act, which provides for alternatives to equity requirements.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell, asking ICASA to reconsider those.
So why is that necessary? If in the current law there is provision for the 30% BEE ownership or more, or a considered alternative, that does already exist, does it not?
Yes, it does. But the issue is that ICASA, along with, I have to say, everyone else in the industry, has always seen the 30% as a floor, you know, as the basic position. And he's saying to ICASA, I want you to consider not having the 30% BE equity requirement for an individual license. Consider these other alternatives that telecoms companies that don't require a license because they aren't providing electronic communication services as such, like MultiChoice, Amazon, and others, they don't have 30% BE equity. They do other things to support BE without being owned.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I wanted to go, because for me, our issue here is how one reads this whole law and how one wants to interpret it and whose agenda wants to advance one particular narrative. In other words, in law currently, there is provision for it because it's right there. It's either or. So you can use the alternative, right, which others have used, as you've pointed out, Microsoft and Amazon, who are currently operating in this country. Yes, of course, without necessarily a license, but they are actually operating in this country. And you have the one quarter saying, no, we read it in, the 30%, we read it as a primary requirement. Others are saying, well, it hasn't always been a primary requirement, because if this had to go to court, actually it is not a primary requirement. It's either or. But what is he advancing? Is he advancing that the 30% be equity be removed entirely?
He isn't being that prescriptive, though I think it's clear that he thinks that the 30% BE equity requirement limits foreign direct investment. You'll notice in the policy direction that the word Starlink doesn't appear.
Yes, of course.
But we all know what this is about, right?
Yes.
And I think we need to just be very blunt about that. Starlink needs licenses to operate because of the nature of its business. Mm-hmm. And ICASA has apparently made it clear that, well, our regulations, which are done in terms of that section and other sections in the ICASA Act, have the 30% BE equity threshold. And there are discussions happening within government, and I think between governments, about whether or not that's the best way to entice foreign direct investment in the electronic communications sector. And I think that the really quite bad-tempered, I think, and overly passionate performances that we saw in Parliament today are because this is a highly emotive and emotional issue, but that didn't necessarily, you know, spread a lot of light on what the issues are. And Pamela, the really interesting thing is that Parliament doesn't actually have much of a role here.
Exactly. And so I
just found that astonishing.
Yeah.
ICASA is the one that's going to get the policy direction eventually when it's finalized after the public's had a say.
Yes.
And they're going to read it and they're going to either say, actually, those are really good ideas and you've persuaded us, and we'll relook at our ownership regulations. Or they're going to say, thank you very much, Minister. We have read this. We have considered it. We've taken it into account. And no, we're not changing our regulations, which they're legally entitled to do as a Chapter 9 body.
Exactly.
This is between the Minister and ICASA. I cannot understand the grandstanding that we saw in Parliament today. It seemed pure politics and theatrics to me.
Well, exactly that. It's pure politics and theatrics. So let me play, I don't even think it's devil's advocate, but as to your point, if ICASA says, thanks, Minister, we really interesting, thanks. Thanks for that, but we'll stay here. Starlink can still get a license, actually, legally, if needs be, to operate. Because, again, there's nothing stopping ICASA from applying the law that sits in front of them currently from allowing Starlink to operate, because it can.
Well, it can't operate with less than 30% BE, because ICASA's own regulations that are done in terms of the Act stipulate 30% black ownership. I don't think there's, my own view is that Starlink could enter into a joint venture partnership, find a local BE partner. But I think Elon Musk, as he sees it, on a point of principle, have said, I'm not doing that. Even though he's done it in other jurisdictions in Africa, he's not going to do that. So what ICASA can't do is say, Elon Musk, we're making an exception
for you and
for Starlink.
What then legally is possible for him to operate here? So he, as far as I understand it, he has proposed the alternatives that he can develop, you know, skills and all of that thing, all of the things that he has proposed forward, except as you're saying, he's not willing to give up the 30% to BEE equity partners. What else could he do to to enter this market legally.
There's nothing else he can do. And that's the big issue that ICASA is facing at the moment. Do we want to, as a significant economy in Africa, be one of the countries that doesn't have Starlink as an optional service for people to choose? And do we want to continue to have the publicity around this issue, which I think in many instances is being misinterpreted, willfully so sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, the narrative that's out there in a number of, you know, in America, certainly, I think, in a number of media outlets, is that South Africa is not foreign investment friendly, because you, as Elon Musk puts it, I can't do business there because I'm not black. I would have a license if I was black. I would, you know, I have to give away 30% of my company. That narrative isn't helpful to the country. And yet, I have some sympathy, for example, with Kosello Diko, the chair of the portfolio committee, who said, well, if you want to operate in South Africa, you have to comply with our laws. And I think that's absolutely right. Of course you have to. The issue is, in other parts of the ICT sector, in other words, where you don't need an actual license, you can operate without being 30% BE, as Microsoft does and Amazon does. Yes. The question is, ICASA, you've got the flexibility. What are you going to do with the flexibility that you have as the Chapter 9 body? And my own sense, I hope I don't sound too cynical here to your listeners, but I think ICASA is going to read the political tea leaves in the room and make a decision based on really what they think the ruling party is going to want to see. That's my view. I think they're in a very tricky position and will want to see which way the political winds are blowing.
Well, if we trot a little bit to the political winds now, this conversation, if we can do that quickly, is that actually I don't know that we know what the political winds and where they're blowing, because we don't know what conversations our president had actually behind closed doors with the American president, or at least his team. We don't know what promises they made to each other. The minister highlighted earlier on today in other media platforms that he's got 100% support of cabinet. Of course, what we saw,
I heard that.
Yeah, and what we saw obviously in that parliamentary committee was not that simple. It, you know, the ANC caucus leader was not impressed, and as you said, you know, said, well, this is not supposed to be, you know, it's we should stick by the law. So I just want you to clarify.
And also said it very, very clearly, BE equity, you know, the transformation of the economy through black ownership is not something that the ruling party is going to step away from. The problem is that the ANC is capable, I think, of not making its position absolutely, absolutely clear on these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
And it's also true that DTIC, the Trade and Industry and Competition Department, has taken a different stance on this. And I think one of the big issues around here is that I don't think it's wonderful lawmaking to have the BE Act governed by DTIC with a whole set of codes and charters and all of that, and then there is a separate law for a small part of the ICT industry, the bit that needs licensing, which has different requirements.
Yeah.
That's really bad lawmaking, I think, for creating an investor-friendly environment.
And
you need to be clear.
That's the nub of the issue. The nub of the issue here is that there doesn't seem to be consistency in law and provision for everybody in the ICT sector. You have one set of laws that govern others, and then when it comes to those who require a license, there's another set of laws. And here's the nub of the issue. The issue here is that he's saying, have a uniform law, and this is where I think the ANC, for instance, or the governing party is going to look or sound schizophrenic, because, as I said, we don't know what conversations were had in Washington. We saw what happened in Parliament today at the Portfolio Committee. But you hear the president have this, what seems to be language that wants to be friendly to investors. So this is going to be an interesting one. I think, we must just all sit back and tighten our belts.
I think that's an excellent point. The other thing that we need to think about is that bad cases often make bad law. Elon Musk is a very divisive figure in our country. My own personal views is that he has an animus towards South Africa, it seems to me. And so I understand people's initial sort of knee-jerk reaction to him to say, we don't want him here. He's a security threat. He's all of those issues. But actually, Starlink as a technology has. It's not going to be a panacea for everyone because it's very expensive. So poor people can't afford it. But it will transform a school, a police station, a clinic in rural areas because it doesn't rely on cables and mobile technology. Satellite is incredibly important for providing access to electronic communication services in rural areas. So it's not going to be a magic wand that suddenly overcomes the digital divide, but it's a very important technology. And do we want it or don't we? And I've seen lots of really, I think, quite, can I say, the sort of juvenile political grandstanding of we don't want Elon Musk here. We need to be very careful about what we're saying to potential investors if we want to be serious about having an economy that people want to invest in.
Just to make a quick last point, and I wonder what you feel about it, is to say I have a feeling that this is more political than it is about regulation. And the reason I keep harping on about what is what happened in Washington is because ICASA is a Chapter 9 institution, but I think ICASA will, behind closed doors, be instructed. I've never known them to be fully independent, so to speak, and I say that in inverted commas, because they're supposed to be, but you understand what I mean. And I think if the conversations in Washington have promised others flexibility, I suspect what's going to happen here is that politically we then used, well, it's a GNU government anyway, but the DA minister, stands up and says, well, this is what needs to be done. I'm not sure he's acting in isolation. I'm not taking lightly his utterances of full support of cabinet. I suspect ICASA is going to take this on, and ICASA is going to say we are being reasonable. We want everybody to be on the same page and on the same footing. They're going to adopt this. and it will come back to us, the ordinary folk. We'll all make lots of noise, as well as other political parties, and it will be passed, because that's what I think will happen.
That's really fascinating. I am not so sure.
Really?
ICASA has had equity ownership, BE equity ownership, as a cornerstone of everything it does for a very long time. I think it's very difficult to change that kind of ideological mindset around investment and what's required to participate.
Yep.
And I think they will only do that if, as you said, it's made very clear to them that that is what the ruling party wants.
You know what I think,
Justin? And yet they're speaking, there's so much, I don't know what it is. Is it factionalism? Is it an inability to be coherent on the fundamental policy issues of the day?
Yeah.
But they are not speaking with one voice.
Yeah.
And I think it's very confusing for ordinary citizens to know where our government's priorities are.
This is going to be fascinating, and I look forward to having a conversation with you as the story develops, because my sense is that the ANC is actually divided on this one, and I want to see where this is going to take us, because this, I suspect, and I hear what you're saying about ICASA, but ICASA didn't operate under this Trump administration. And I think we have a lot of things that are happening at the moment that are changing how the world is doing business. Thank you so much, Justine.
Thank you. Nice to chat.
Justine Limpet Law is electronic communications law consultant and honorary adjunct professor at the Link Center at Wits University.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.